one of the things that happened this week, along with the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus that we've been talking about, and the Apple Watch, was something else. It was not a device, but it was a process, and that was what was called Apple Payment. And with us right now is Rick Dakin, who is the CEO and Chief Security Strategist of Coalfire, which is an IT data security firm. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon. Happy to be with you.
Delighted to have you here. Rick, let's start out, if you would please, to help our audience get some idea of what is the Apple Payment System?
Yeah, the Apple Payment System actually has two pieces, and those pieces will be rolled out in two phases. The piece that the customer is going to see first is yet another wallet. As you've probably discussed on previous shows, whether it's an ISIS wallet or a Google wallet or the early Microsoft wallets, it's another place for you to store a credit card and then to transmit it through, in this case, NFC. And there's been other technology. So that part of the announcement is relatively uninteresting.
By the way, NFC for audience, near field communication. It allows you to literally tap or to be inches from a device that will read the information on your phone and will then credit your account.
Yeah, and we were talking early on about how we do micropayments, and you could do it on the phone, and it just never took off. And while Google Android phones have had this capability for a while, Rick, you know, maybe with the iPhone and having the capability on the iPhone, you know, just like so many things on the iPhone, they're not new, they're just perfected. Is that what you're seeing here?
Yeah. Phase one, you're absolutely correct. Another NFC wallet using a, quote, secure element that nobody has tested yet. So you keep secure element as a marketing claim and not a proven technology. So that's the first warning to the audience.
But thank you.
It's the back end that's going to be revolutionary. And Apple's not going it alone. With the recent breaches at Home Depot, Target, we're more than mildly aware of what's not working well. We do a little over 400 of these credit card audits at major retailers every year. We're the number two auditor, so once they get hacked, we're the number one place companies go to recertify their systems and go back online.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And take credit cards. So it's an environment that we're very, very familiar with, and it's going back to the days of Willie Sutton when he said, "Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is." Why do you go to the point of sale at a merchant? Because that's where the credit card numbers are.
Absolutely.
And with the new technology, Apple has been working with the card brands to develop a token exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So when you register your phone, you will get an electronic, let me keep this where it's publicly available. I can't go into the non-publicly released part of it yet.
Gotcha.
But you will get back a token that is different than your card number. So if somebody, like a merchant, were to lose your token, it doesn't matter, because your card number is going to be kept in a vault managed by what's called acquiring banks or the back-end approving part of a transfer. And so those acquiring banks would have the same cryptographic algorithm on their back-end, so that when you identify yourself, they'll go to your, let's call it the virtual safe deposit box, take out your credit card, make a transaction, and then give you an authentication code on the way back.
Now, Rick,
so neither the consumer or the merchant will see your personal identification.
The token you mentioned is that when I come to a transaction, let's say I'm at a Micro Center buying something for my computer, and what'll happen is that my bank, or let's say Visa, will send Micro Center then a token, which is actually a string of numbers. Is that right?
It is. Matter of fact, the thing that makes it work without a major uplift, why I think it's going to work this time, it's the same format and size number that's in your primary account number on your credit card.
Ah, but it's totally, the tokens are totally unique, am I right?
Correct. So each token is only good for one transaction.
Yep. Okay. So I would like to make a request to the credit card companies. You know, I don't mind if somebody steals my credit card number if they want to pay off my balance. So yep. I'd like to leave them that open if somebody wants to do that, just not charge anything else on my credit card.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I think that was the hope of everybody that had their credit cards compromised, that they would get issued a new card with zero balance.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that doesn't work.
What's happened is essentially, Rick, is that the whole notion of that magnetic strip and that information being on my card, that has to go away.
Yeah.
That has to go away. It can't stick around because somebody can steal that kind of thing and then has access to whatever I have in my account, which is not much.
So in all that logic, there's two myths and one fact. And this is where the consumers really get confused. One, a magnetic stripe or a chip-to-chip communication mm-hmm. has the same level of security. They're no different.
Right.
Whether you have a chip communicating a number that gets read by a chip on the other side in clear text, mm-hmm. preparing authorization requests in clear text, to a bank that only accepts clear text requests, it's insecure whether you're chip and PIN or your Mac Stripe.
And what you're referring to, what you're referring to with that chip and PIN is, like, for instance, when I was in Canada, that's now the rule there, that you have to have a chip in your credit card.
That's right.
You're saying, essentially, that's no more secure than the magnetic stripe was.
Correct. It is absolutely no more secure.
Unless you're secure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, Rick Dake is going to continue. We've got two myths about the whole credit card business and one fact that we're going to find out about as we continue to talk about the new Apple payment system and this whole token-based payment system as we come back in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. And in studio with right now, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin, and we're talking with Rick Dakin, who is a CEO and Chief Security Strategist for Coalfire, which is an IT data security firm. And Rick, thank you very much for being with us, Rick.
No problem.
Initially, you talked about there are two parts. We've been talking about Apple Payment, and as it was presented on the stage on Monday, I think it was, yes, Monday this past week, this is going to be like a totally secure magic wand. I'll be able to take my iPhone 6 or the watch for that matter and just tap it on this device through the NFC and Shazam, there will be an absolutely secure transaction that takes place there. The bad guys have nowhere to get in.
No, but I don't think anybody's ever said that, Foster.
I'm oversimplifying, obviously.
Well, and not correct. Nobody's ever said that.
Is this inherently, this system that Apple's proposing with this token-based, you described, and it may be a little technical, folks, but is it more secure than what we have right now and less vulnerable than the systems we have right now?
Yes. Through encryption and tokenization, in the world of cybersecurity, we call that reducing the attack surface.
Okay.
And where there's very strong encryption or de-identification, even if there's bad guys who are living on your phones and living on the networks, they just can't see the transaction because it's either been de-identified or encrypted. So in theory, yes, you have dramatically reduced the attack surface, where the attack surface no longer includes the merchants. So right now, the merchants are victims, just like the people who present their credit cards and get them stolen. The people who have control of that are obviously the card brands to develop a more secure system. This is a dramatically more secure system.
Ed, I think you have something, a question?
Well, I was, for some reason, I had the date of 2017 in my mind, and wasn't that the year that we're supposed to be pushing out the chip and PIN in the U.S.? There's some sort of deadline?
Yeah, that's the final stage of the chip and PIN.
Okay.
And you'll see by Christmas this year, over 50% of all merchants will be taking chip and PIN transactions. And you'll see 75% by the 4th of July, 2015. The hard part is only 10% of consumers in the United States have a chip-enabled card.
Right.
And
yep.
So chip and PIN is probably 2016, 2017, more because of card issuance than merchant readiness.
Yeah, I had a very difficult time finding cards for my daughter when she was going overseas for an internship on that. So the expense for chip and PIN, have the vendors that actually distribute that, because the actual people that own the stores have to purchase the machines to
new
read
point
that.
Of sale machines.
Yeah, new point, the POS machines. So do those also support near-field communications, or is it like they're going to have to
invest? Is there another machine coming out they got to buy?
Yet again, yes.
Yeah, and this is where the merchants are obviously very frustrated. No, near-field communication and doing a chip and PIN transaction are not synonymous right now.
Right.
So there may be a merchant that says, I just upgraded to be able to take my chip or EMV chip, and now I have to put NFC in place in order to do, you know, basically what this is going to be is a point-to-point encryption.
Right. Now, Rick,
no one's gonna
the problem
see
up
the
is,
transaction.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So typically what drives adoption in a market like this is regulation. Are we going to see regulation through, I know how they would do this would be PCI, but payment card. Do you see that that's how this is going to be adopted by the retailers?
Yeah, and it's basically monopoly instead of regulation, but it's the same thing. You know, there's only a few card brands, so, and the card systems are going to force the issue.
So the card systems are the ones that are going to make it happen. I had heard that with Apple Payments, that there's no cost that's borne by the consumer or by the merchant, but that the cost is at the card, between the card and Apple. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
The consumer, as long as they get a phone that's enabled with this new technology, because when you register the phone, here's the scary part, the fact that I was going to get to with the two myths that we talked about earlier, is the ground is moving beneath our feet. There is a revolution going on mobile payments that starts with Apple Pay, and I want to talk to you about a couple other things that your consumers are not aware of, that they're going to feel a little creepy once they find out what the merchants are doing. But on the actual payment system, the consumer is going to, one, have to buy a phone that's enabled.
Okay.
Then they're going to have to register with a card brand. And so this is a form of locking the card brand into the consumer.
Oh.
And so everybody...
That'd be like Visa or MasterCard or...
American Express,
something like that.
No different than what happens today, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You
I choose Visa.
PayPal,
you're right.
Amazon,
okay.
Other places
to
get into the payment
stream
as well.
Okay.
This will lock the card brands in because you're going to use your biometrics to register with your card brand. So when they pull your wallet out of the vault, you have used biometrics and personally identifiable information.
Now that means fingerprints right now. That means fingerprints right now, right?
Or facial recognition.
Or facial recognition or retina or whatever, or iris or whatever. Okay. So basically, it's going to be on us as the consumers to buy phones with these capabilities.
Yeah.
And the
and
new
the
iPhones
cost,
come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the cost at the merchant side is they're now going to have to buy systems that, one, can communicate with your mobile phone either through NFC or, better yet, through the Internet.
Mm.
So if the point-of-sale system's on the Internet and your phone's on the Internet, you hit a button, it goes to the Internet down to the point-of-sale system. So there'll be multiple routes getting paid.
But the merchants, as we were talking about before, they've got to buy into it.
Yes, and they have to upgrade their systems to handle those communications.
Okay. But as Ed was just saying, they have been forced to upgrade, or they're being pushed to upgrade to the chip and PIN, and now we've got something else coming in. Is this a tug of war then between those two?
No, in actuality, the chip and PIN gets you halfway there, because if you can read a chip to a chip, you're halfway there. And now you have to read the NFC and be able to process a secure token. So once the total point of sale system is set up to be completely digital, chip to chip enabled, and that's why we're going to see the chip and PIN roll out, less for chip and PIN's sake, more for enabling this new token exchange in the future.
Okay. Ed, you know, I was going to say, this sounds really good to me. That means credit card companies...
You're off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say credit card companies can charge me less interest because they won't have to pay for as many fraudulent purchases, and I'm being completely facetious on this. I'm not going to save any money on this in the future except for the, you know, they're going to absorb and save that cost, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, you're not paying anything for it now, and you're not going to pay anything for
it. I am in high interest rates.
Yeah, so let's talk about direct payment and indirect payment.
Okay, let's do it quickly because we're almost out of time, but I'm going to make sure you get your points made. Go ahead, Rick.
So the first thing you do when you walk into a store, check and see if there's little blue dots on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If they are, you are being tracked in the store. Some yet nice young sales clerk is going to come up to you one day and say, would you like to buy that in the store or would you like me to drop ship it? The payments are going to be integrated to your profile, so you will be paying an indirect cost.
Rick,
you're giving up your privacy to be force-fed product.
Can you hang on the phone? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if we can continue the conversation offline and then offer it to our listeners as a bonus feature. So hang on just a second. We'll come back.